You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It's time for the Russ Melville Show. It's Monday, July 14th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so glad that you could join us here as part of our new summer lineup here on 420 Radio. I don't know if you've been listening all day. You may have heard some new stuff. We've been busy all this weekend getting the new summer lineup ready for you here at 420 Radio. We've got new shows appearing on 420 Radio, including the Texas Cannabis Report out of Waco, Texas. Brand new show out of Waco. Looking forward to that one. Texas Cannabis Report can be heard Mondays in our new 9 o'clock block, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific time. On Tuesdays, you'll get to hear Medical Marijuana Radio. It's back from New Mexico. Larry Love will be bringing you the latest in medical marijuana news from the land of enchantment. On Wednesday, we've got Getting High with Adam, the new podcast from Adam Ill, formerly with The Podcast out of Cali Connection. And on Thursday, we welcome the return of Canna Truths podcast with Denton Ramsey from Texas. That's our new 9 o'clock hour. So we have got podcasts replaying from 9 to 3 every weekday here at 420 Radio. Then from 3 to 9, you'll get our original programming, the Russ Melville Show, Toker Talk Radio, and of course, the Viper Hour, Electric Bob's Boogaloo, Gordon Green's Music Planet, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, and the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. You can get the latest schedule up on our website at 420radio.org/programs if you want to learn more about the shows, /schedule if you want to know what time they're on in your time zone. Plus, all our shows replay on the weekends. Also, we are looking for a new show for our Friday lineup. Friday at 10 a.m., we've got an opening. So if you know somebody that's got a great marijuana podcast they'd like to have replayed here on 420 Radio, just send us a note through our contact form at 420radio.org/contact. We've also got some new sponsors here at 420 Radio. We are very excited to announce Mara K. Eaton's book, The Hypocrites, will be advertised here on 420 Radio. We'll have her on the show in our Reformers Reader just as soon as we get a copy of the book itself. So stay tuned for that. Also, we have got a Ti-Stick vaporizer pen is coming online with us as well. So we will learn more about them in the coming weeks, as well as all of the rest of our 420 Radio advertisers and sponsors. If you'd like to learn more about that, just go to 420radio.org/advertise. The one change in our lineup you may notice as well is we no longer have our hour of Daily Toker Tunes at 2 o'clock, but you'll still catch the Daily Toker Tunes at the 45-minute mark of every replay hour, so there's still plenty of music to be heard on 420 Radio. All right, for today's show, we've got our cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. There's some new evidence coming out of the UK on the use of THC to battle cancer. We'll also look at some UK reporting on cannabis and anxiety and depression. Dr. Mitch will also take your live questions at 971-533-7111. Also on today's show, we're going to learn how to do cop math to show you how to turn a $300 ounce into a $700 ounce. And at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. The price of weed is too damn high. The price of legal weed, that is. We'll talk about what the price of legal weed should be at the closing end of the show. And then stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where you are the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111 and cover some of the other news of the day. Priscilla Sybin is off for the day. I'm back with the news right after this.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison. On May 30th, she voted against an amendment that would respect Florida's new laws and protect Florida's patients. Even though 88% of Florida voters support medical marijuana, why would Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz vote to send patients like this to prison? Is Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz out of touch with Florida?
420radio.org is proud to replay Weed Nerd with Subcool from the Emerald Triangle of Northern California. One of the internet's most popular grow shows is on 420 Radio. Pick up grow tips from the master behind multiple award-winning strains from Team Green Avenger. Catch the replays Tuesday at 1 Pacific here on 420.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Seibin.
Priscilla Seibin has the day off today. I'm Russ Belville with the news. Seattle's first legal pot shop is closed. Temporarily. Cannabis City had to close on Friday after running out of stock in just 3 days since Washington became the second U.S. state to allow pot sales to adults. We reported live when Cannabis City opened in Seattle on Tuesday with at least 10 pounds of marijuana for sale, and by close of business Thursday, it was all gone. A message on the store's phone line said it would reopen on July 21st. There were widespread concerns that shortages of pot would afflict retailers this week after the state issued its first 25 licenses to outlets under a heavily regulated and taxed system approved by voters in November 2012. Despite the few outlets, purchase limits, and exorbitant prices, analysts estimate the state pulled in almost $150,000 in tax revenue. Well, this was something that had been predicted for quite a long time, as we saw so few of the growers getting licensed in time. And I mentioned it, you know, last week as well, when we're talking about the statewide opening of the first legal marijuana shops, we shouldn't be talking about inventories in the tens of pounds. We should be talking about inventories in the thousands of pounds. This is one area where Colorado was able to do a much better job rolling out legalization, as they were easily able to graft their recreational system onto their medical system. Medical growers were given the first licenses as well, something that has only recently changed in Colorado. Now anybody can apply for a recreational license, but the first stores were all tied to medical marijuana dispensary owners. You had to be a medical dispensary to get that recreational license. Those first few owners were then allowed to take some of their inventory from their medical crop and in a one-time transfer it to the recreational side. Now, though, growers are growing just for the recreational side, and we're seeing the average price of weed in Colorado at about $220 an ounce. We'll talk more about the pricing of marijuana in the Radical Rant at the end of the show today, but I encourage everyone in Washington to just sit tight and be patient. More growers will come online soon, and before we know it, we will once again see the lowest prices for marijuana right here in the Pacific Northwest. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon has finally signed the CBD-only legislation passed by the Missouri legislature last month. The Show Me State is now the 11th state this year to approve the use of cannabidiol, a non-psychoactive constituent of cannabis, to treat intractable epilepsy. However, unlike CBD-only laws in Utah and other states, Missouri will be licensing private production facilities and dispensaries to produce and distribute the CBD oil, which must contain at least 5% CBD and no more than 0.3% THC, a ratio of 16 2/3 to 1. Only patients with intractable epilepsy, defined as epilepsy unresponsive to 3 or more treatment options, will qualify to use the CBD oil under state law. Well, at least in Missouri, they got around to figuring out how these people are supposed to get it. In Utah, people have to go out of state, go to Colorado, break Colorado law, break interstate trafficking law, bring it back to Utah, and then they're okay. Then they're protected. And I always feel like if these parents wanted to be criminals to help their epileptic kids, they'd do that now. Right? They don't need any special laws right now if they just want to be criminals. At least in Missouri, these people will not have to go out of state, not have to break another state's law or a federal law to get their CBD oil. And unlike North Carolina, which recently passed a CBD-only law that has a ratio mandated of 34 to 1, this law here in Missouri at least has a 16 2/3 to 1 ratio. I've been hearing from the breeders of these CBD plants that are talking about, you know, feeling pretty good about themselves when they can get a 20 to 1 ratio. So aiming for 34 to 1 like they're doing in North Carolina seems a little high to me. 16 2/3 will probably work out a little better as far as getting the oil made and out to the people. However, as is the case with all these CBD-only laws, we have to emphasize that CBD is only one constituent of cannabis, and this law leaves behind so many people that could be helped through the medical use of cannabis. And even for those with epilepsy, I always have to shake my head when they say that it has to be intractable epilepsy, that they have to try 3 or more other treatment options before they're allowed to try the non-toxic one. The one that has been shown to have very good results. Why is it that someone has to go through pharmaceuticals with toxic side effects and need to take more pills to deal with the side effects or even possibly surgery on their brain before we allow them to have CBD? It shouldn't be the medicine of last resort. It should be the medicine of first resort. A Canadian marijuana breeder company has launched what it calls the world's first marijuana commercial. Vancouver-based Crop King Seeds sales are limited to Canada, so don't expect to see the ad airing in the States. The ad takes a bit of a jab at one of its competitors as well. Let's take a look.
What can I help you with, bro?
Oh, hello. I'm looking for some purple kush and, hash brownies.
Excuse me?
You know, the plant that grows out of the ground.
We only stock the liquid alternative. You know, the kind that leads to violence, social problems, the occasional gruesome death.
It's 2014, man. And you're telling me I have no other choice but to consume these dangerous products?
Dangerous as they may be, they are legal. I tell you what, you looked like a peach cider man when you came in first, but there are some beers over there. They're closer.
Why don't we try one of these old Sutteroonies, eh?
Put it down. Put it down, put it down, put it...
Oh.
Okay, get out. You gotta get out.
You
come on.
Sick bastard.
Ooh.
You support these liquor companies
out.
Without any care for your fellow man.
All right, get the fuck out. You gotta go.
What's this? Marijuana seeds? And so many different strains. I think I'm gonna take one of everything.
Crop King Seeds. World-class cannabis seeds, available online or in stores.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I wonder how they're going to get the fuck out of here past the Canadian censors, but nice commercial, fellas. In Nevada, the Marijuana Policy Project has launched a new ad campaign. Rather than take out TV or radio ads, the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana-like Alcohol is posting ads on the restroom walls of more than 24 Las Vegas bars and restaurants. The ads use bathroom-inspired themes to get across the group's twofold message: police are wasting time by going after pot users, and marijuana legalization would create revenue for Nevada's public schools. One ad features a nearly empty roll of toilet paper made of cash and the text, "Limited resources should be reserved for serious matters." Another features a toilet filled with cash and the text, "Why flush money down the toilet?" Coalition spokesman Joe Bresny said in a statement, quote, "It's time to regulate marijuana and start treating it like alcohol. These ads will reach folks at a time when we know they have a few minutes to put some thought into it." Organizers must gather about 102,000 signatures statewide to send the matter to the 2015 legislature. If lawmakers reject it or take no action, it would go to the voters in 2016. Nevada voters rejected efforts to legalize small amounts of marijuana in 2002 and 2006. A bill with the same goal died in the 2013 legislature. The latest measure would allow adults 21 and older to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana. It would also set up a regulatory structure for cultivation and dispensaries, similar to what's being implemented for medical marijuana in the state. I like this ad campaign. I don't have the pictures up for you right at the moment, but you can find them online. And these are some creative ad campaign ideas that activists all across the country could take on. A whole lot less expensive to buy the so-called bathroom ads or bus ads, you know, places where people are kind of a captive audience, than it is to buy television, radio, or newspaper ads. So good on the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, and thanks MPP for supporting their efforts. Patients stock up as San Jose pot clubs shut down, from KTVU.com. 5 days are left until San Jose's medical marijuana regulations go into effect. Nearly 80 pot clubs are expected to shut down. Some of the clubs are now seeing a boost in sales, with patients stocking up on products while they can. This month, one dispensary has seen about a 35% increase in sales. The collective is selling out of products that aren't grown in-house, since technically under the new restrictions, they will be banned on Friday. Across town at the All-American Cannabis Club, founder Dave Hodges is seeing more and more senior citizens and young people stocking up. Hodges said, "Normally we would limit to an ounce a day for people to get, but at this point, anybody who wants to get anything, we are helping them out." San Jose Mayor Chuck Reed argues pot clubs have been operating illegally in the city for years and now must comply with federal and state law. Collectives are gathering more than 60,000 signatures to fight the new rules, but many of those signatures aren't valid yet. Patients say if their supply runs out, they will have to commute to Santa Cruz or San Francisco to gather their medicine. Yeah, this San Jose ordinance, this was something that was passed by the council. If I'm remembering the story right, passed by the council, limiting the zoning of dispensaries to like 1% of the city, just one way up north part of the city that you can get them, and way down south part that you can get them, these little tiny blocks where they will be available. Most of the dispensaries aren't in those areas and are going to have to close down. If I recall properly, this was passed by the council, and then there was a referendum that the dispensary owners put on the ballot to overturn it, and it lost. It turned out that the people supported it, like 52% supported the dispensary locations that the San Jose City Council came up with. So it's one of those cases where it's kind of tough to go against something when the people aren't necessarily on your side. Those 5x5 home gardens from Prop 19 and their pot stores probably seem a whole lot more palatable to some of those people, I bet. And finally, in sports, Auburn quarterback Nick Marshall is out for the SEC Media Days after a pot citation. The quarterback cost him a trip to the Media Days. The Tigers announced also that tight end CJ Ozuma would take Marshall's place during the team's Media Days appearance. Coach Gus Malzahn is expected to address Marshall's situation. In a statement Friday, Malzahn said he was aware of the incident and was, quote, very disappointed. Police on Friday reportedly found less than an ounce of marijuana in Marshall's car in Reynolds, Georgia. Marshall was pulled over for a possible window tinting violation, according to reports. He is among the league's top returning quarterbacks and a Heisman Trophy candidate. Well, as Herb Thrasher put it, there's going to be some talk about marijuana and college athletes in Alabama. This isn't some safety or defensive back. This is a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback we're talking about, an all-star here. Pretty soon, college sports is just going to have to forget about the marijuana thing, especially in the Pac-12. We'll be right back after this. 420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
The International Cannabis Business Conference takes place September 13th and 14th at the Portland Ballroom in the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. Featured speakers include Oregon Senator Floyd Prezansky, U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Daily Dish blogger Andrew Sullivan, author Doug Fine, and Harborside CEO Steve D'Angelo. To learn more, visit our website at
Congressman Andy Harris thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison, even though Maryland passed a medical marijuana bill in April. On May 30th, Congressman Harris voted against an amendment to respect Maryland laws and protect Maryland patients. Why would Congressman Harris vote to send patients like this to prison? 72% of Maryland residents support medical marijuana. Is Congressman Harris out of touch with Maryland?
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients like Larry Harvey to go to prison and lose their constitutional rights. Even though Washington has had a medical marijuana law protecting patients like Larry since 1998, on May 30th, Congresswoman McMorris Rogers voted against an amendment that would protect Washington patients.
I voted to send Kathy McMorris Rogers to Congress, and she voted to send me to prison.
Is the Congresswoman out of touch with Washington?
Welcome back, everybody. 23 and a half after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines to learn how California weed is worth $700 an ounce. Who knew? Yeah, ring it up. Bakersfield Police Department is reporting that they have seized over 3 tons of marijuana. It is alleged that 2 Hispanic men were driving a U-Haul truck when they ran a red light early in the morning. After smelling marijuana, the 2 officers brought in a canine unit. When the dog alerted, officers cut the lock on the back of the truck and found 252 bales of marijuana, weighing in at 6,732 pounds. According to the cops, they just pulled in $76.4 million in weed off the streets. All right, let's get out our handy calculators and divide 76,400,000 by 6,732, and we get... No, that can't be right. That would be $11,348 a pound. Divide that by 16 and we get, that's over $709 an ounce. Look, priceofweed.com says a high quality ounce in California goes for $245. Weedmaps.com shows me an ounce of Blackberry Kush going for $300 in a Venice Beach dispensary. High Times Transmarket Quotations in the September 2014 issue finds the most expensive strain, Sonoma Sweet Tooth, going for $350 an ounce. So what's going on? Did Bakersfield cops just find super special marijuana grown in sacred fields, harvested by virgins, and packaged in gold-plated boxes? Well, William Breathes out at tokeofthetown.com had the same idea and called up the Bakersfield PD, which stood by its original estimate. See, by their calculations, the street price of marijuana is $24 a gram in California, and there are over 3 million grams in 6,732 pounds of weed, and that multiplies out to 76.4 million. As if these guys were allegedly delivering over 3 tons of weed to sell 1 gram at a time. Even that $24 a gram price they begin with is suspect. While a premium bud like Durban Poison might go for $25 a gram at a dispensary, even there you get it for 60 an eighth. That's 3.5 grams, by the way. A standard sativa like Silver Haze will fetch only $8 a gram or $25 an eighth. I've seen the pictures of those 252 bales the Bakersfield cops seized, and I highly doubt it's premium bud. Well, I can imagine that the cops would say, well, yeah, that's the dispensary price, not the street price. But aren't they the ones that are always telling us that anyone who wants to get a medical recommendation in California can get one? If it's so easy to get into a dispensary, then that is the street price. At $300 an ounce retail prices, well, you seized about $32.3 million worth of pot, not $76 million. Or if we go wholesale, $1,500 a pound wholesale price, well, then you seized just a shade over $10 million. This kind of accounting, using the smallest unit retail price to calculate the largest bulk wholesale value, only works when we're busted for marijuana violations. When the cops are busted for illegal marijuana seizures and they're forced to pay back victims in a lawsuit, well, wouldn't you know it, marijuana's worth far less than $700 an ounce. For instance, two dispensaries in Vallejo, California were illegally raided by police. Cops there had to return what was called $200,000 worth of marijuana that turned out to be 60 pounds of dried bud, boxes of marijuana-infused edibles, and hundreds of dead plants. If we only consider the 60 pounds of bud, at $200,000 worth, that's just $208 an ounce. In Pasadena, cops were ordered to return $8,000 worth of medical marijuana to a man on probation they had illegally searched. It was reportedly 25 ounces, so that works out to $320 an ounce. Associated Press recently reported on the phenomenon of people suing the police to get their marijuana plants returned. In Colorado Springs, a cancer patient sued over 55 seized plants worth an estimated $300,000. So that's $5,454 a plant. Another dispensary owner sued for $3.3 million over her 604 pot plants. That's $5,463 per plant. But if we do the cop math, a well-tended marijuana plant can produce 2 pounds of bud. Hell, I know outdoor growers who can get 10 pounds a plant, but let's stick to 2 pounds for now. So, given Bakersfield PD's estimate of $11,348 per pound, it seems to me that that Colorado man is owed not $300,000, but $1.2 million, and the dispensary owner is owed not $3.3 million, but $13.7 million. Just wait. The next medical marijuana patient in California who loses cannabis to an illegal police seizure should hire a clever lawyer who'll make those cops stick to their $709 per ounce estimate. Yeah, cop math. When they're taking weed off the streets, it's $2,500 a pound. When they're sued in court, oh, it's only $1,000 a pound. yeah, can't wait till this stuff is all just legal. And that's one of the problems with it being illegal, is we don't get any baseline price, any real market values that we can trust. We'll talk more about that in the Radical Rant too. In the price of legal weed is too damn high. We got Dr. Mitch and your questions. When we come back, we're going to talk about cancer, depression, and anxiety. Stick around.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Jorge Cervantes TV, replaying Thursdays at 1 Pacific.
Congressman Doc Hastings stood up for Washington's medical marijuana program and patients like Larry Harvey. Larry and his family are being prosecuted by the federal government, even though they were following Washington's 16-year-old medical marijuana law. On May 30th, Congressman Hastings voted for an amendment that would protect Washington's medical marijuana program and its patients from federal interference. Will the next representative from District 4 respect Washington voters? No, before you vote.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. 33 after the hour, we're joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Splendid day, splendid day.
It's a great summer day here in Portland, Oregon. Temperatures heading toward the 90s, so we're looking forward to it as well. Glad to have you on the line. Want to remind our listeners that we're getting your questions ready in our chat room. If you add the little Q icon, it helps me to see that a little better. Ask one of the chat moderators. They'll tell you how to do that. Or you can call in live the old-fashioned way, 971-533-7111. But we always open up by giving Dr. Mitch the first word to tell us the latest in cannabis science.
Oh, I got those articles you had sent me, and I'm happy to talk about that one in the Daily Mail on smoking cannabis. The headline says it does increase the risk of anxiety and depression. You know the one I mean?
Yeah. This is, as our friend Cannabis Cure UK calls it, the Daily Fail. But in the Daily Mail in the UK, in their health section, headline, smoking cannabis does increase the risk of anxiety and depression. Brains of users were less able to react to feel-good chemical dopamine, adds to past research linking marijuana to lethargy and apathy, which I guess explains why the gross domestic product of Colorado has just fallen through the floor since they've legalized.
Yes, indeed.
There's quotes here from Dr. Nora Volkoff from National Institutes of Drug Abuse, and apparently this study used Ritalin. What's going on here, Dr. Mitch?
So this is a pretty sad, I mean, you got to realize this is sort of the National Enquirer of the UK, so we can only take this paper so seriously. But the research they're reporting is part of a series of studies where basically what happens is people come in and they give them amphetamine or Ritalin or some standard dopaminergic drug, and then allegedly this is a measure of how they would respond to natural sources of dopamine, like winning a race or getting a nice job or, you know, having sex or listening to a song you like. So already we're one drug-induced step away from what reality is. In 2012, Meg Haney's group did something very comparable and did not find any link between a dopamine reaction caused by a chemical and cannabis use, unless you were a really heavy user early in adolescence. This one claims that they've got it. The sample is small. It's not clear what it really means to not react to Ritalin under these circumstances. Is being a cannabis user blunting your dopamine response or protecting you against becoming an Adderall addict? I'm not quite sure. And then the other issue is this notion, this is why marijuana is linked to lethargy and apathy. That research has been disputed by folks in my lab and others for years and years now. When you look at economic data, cannabis users make as much money, pay as much taxes, all that stuff. They're just as interested in things. They're just as engaged in their work and in their leisure activities. And really, this notion of cannabis and amotivational type symptoms, it was just a farce based on a couple of adolescents who, what a surprise, didn't want to do what their teachers had told them.
You know, and it seems to me that it would be really hard to tease out any productivity data while marijuana is still illegal in most of the country. I mean, for example, didn't one of the studies take a look at what the comparative income levels of smokers and non-smokers were? Well, surprise, the smokers had lower overall income levels because they couldn't get the best jobs. Is there other confounders like that?
Well, and then ironically, when you go to Costa Rica or somewhere where cannabis attitudes aren't so harsh, the wealthier people are the ones who can afford more cannabis, and they actually end up being the ones who report more use. So we definitely have all the biases inherent in self-report on that kind of stuff. And the education data, as you know, we've joked about before, you're much more likely to have tried cannabis if you're college educated than if you only have a high school equivalency. So, you know, clearly the way to keep people off marijuana is to keep them away from college.
Well, they say there's a time and place for everything, and that place is college. Hey, on the other aspect of this, you kind of briefly mentioned it, though, but there's a line here in the Daily Mail story. It says, like cocaine, Ritalin raises levels of dopamine in the brain, and they were seeing less reaction to that Adderall when Ritalin when they used it. Is this possibly telling us that there's, you know, some truth to marijuana helping people that may be addicted to opioids or stimulants?
Well, what's funny is we've never really gone that route with this. So yes, lots of folks say, hey, cannabis helped me kick hard drugs, but they never actually said my reaction to hard drugs was actually less intense afterwards. So we've seen some folks who use, say, naltrexone and then take an opiate in the lab and they don't like it as much, and even with alcohol that seems to work. I would have to wonder if they had any subjective sensation data on this, because all they really are reporting here is the dopamine. But if the regular cannabis users are saying, hey, this Adderall isn't making me as happy, I am awfully suspicious of the idea that cannabis could have that potential.
You know, I've heard it among stimulant users, among cocaine users occasionally, of having that joint to take the edge off of that harder drug. And maybe that's what they're talking about.
What's really funny is when you talk to guys who were opiate addicts in the 50s, they say, oh, I would never touch cannabis because I couldn't feel the heroin.
Uh-huh.
Clearly, we may be framing this all wrong.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let me get to a question from the chat room. We've seen the last two states that have passed medical marijuana, Minnesota and New York, pass them both as these non-smoked versions. I like to call them medical THC CBD states, because you can get the THC and CBD, you just can't get the marijuana itself. Apparently, one of our chatters, Speed Limit, is saying that Minnesota is claiming their medical cannabis system will be the model for everyone. And the governor of Minnesota has just put together a medical cannabis commission, mostly law enforcement, county attorneys, that rehab people and all that. What do you think of Minnesota proclaiming their model to be the one the nation should follow for medical marijuana?
I think what happened was New York kind of pointed towards them when they passed this law, and Randy Quast of Minnesota Normal is really trying to get a jump on this, and is actually proposing a big conference there in Minneapolis on October 18th, so I'm hoping he'll help peel back some of the confusion with all of this. As more and more states are trying to pretend like they're setting things up in this sort of anti-California way, they're pointing in this direction. I feel like this is an egregious error, in part because we really don't have the safety data for these vaporized extracts that we have for long-term exposure to cannabis, especially after using the vaporizer. So I'm reluctant to say this is a great idea, and in truth, a little apprehensive about this notion that they're calling it non-smoked when in fact it's just smoking extracts. It's also suspiciously like a yellow brick road, if you will, for pharmacological companies, these phytochemical companies who are going to basically create these extracts that are going to certainly be more expensive than plant cannabis, and to run in, make a lot of money, and then donate it to the very legislators who pass these laws.
Yeah, let me run something by you on that tip as well. You know, we've seen these CBD only states get passed, and the Missouri governor just was the latest to sign on, you know, to make Missouri one of these CBD states. New York and Minnesota, you know, THC and CBD, but no smoking of the plant. And it just kind of strikes me as odd, because when medical marijuana first began making headways here in America in the mid-90s and throughout the first few medical marijuana states, the chorus we always get back from the opponents was, well, there's no science on this. It's all anecdotal. There's no real science to back this up. We can't be taking these risks. We have an FDA process. There's a way that science should progress on this. That was always their excuse against plant marijuana. But boy, this CBD oil pops up. You know, they always said, like, oh, you're just being emotional. You're not being scientific. You're just being emotional. But boy, Dr. Gupta puts a little 3-year-old girl seizing up on CNN. And boy, emotions took over real quick in 11 different state legislatures. Doesn't seem to me that they ever really had any problem with the science. It was always the pot smoking they didn't like.
Well, and what's funny is they're trying to draw this as a line so that there's no actual legalization of the plant. So this is somehow going to separate this underground market from what they're going to have as their legitimate market that's feeding their own tax coffers. And I'm extremely skeptical, and I find it such an artificial dichotomy, which is why I feel like a tax and regulated market in any adult use is really the only answer.
All right. Let's get to this other UK data that we've got. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine here in our cannabis Q&A segment. Scientists reveal, this is off the Independent, a little bit more respected news organization in Britain. Scientists reveal how THC could slow cancer tumor growth. Now, I mean, we've known this from the 70s, but apparently there's new research at the University of East Anglia that has shown how THC is attacking cancer cells. What can you tell us about this study?
I mean, in truth, this is one of those situations like, you know, they find out broccoli is good for you, and rather than just having everybody eat broccoli, they say, well, let's find out exactly what it is in broccoli before we start eating it. You know, we've known this for literally decades, as you mentioned. It's pretty obvious that THC essentially helps this process where cells that become cancerous kill themselves in your body, usually. And that's obviously how it works. Do we really need to know the exact receptor and mechanism and everything else given the animal data we have? Probably not. And this hair-splitting ridiculousness about saying we've got to do all this other stuff before we can let this out is just a frightened bunch of insanity. And I feel like if it were any other chemical but THC, this would already be a marketed drug.
Absolutely. All right. To close things out, I want to remind folks, if you didn't get a chance to get your question in, you can always send it privately by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. But Dr. Mitch wears a lot of hats. In addition to being our go-to guy for cannabis science, he is also the chairman of the Normal Board of Directors. And I got this note from Sabrina at Normal about Normal launching the Better Business Bureau for the pot industry, the Normal Business Network. Can you tell us anything about that?
I'm so excited and so proud of Sabrina for putting in a ton of effort on this. But essentially, we're trying to make it so that you know, you don't go to a website and wonder if this person's a charlatan. You don't go to a store and have to be worried about what's really going into your cannabis products, because it'll have a normal seal of approval, and we'll be able to make sure that they're following good business practices, so that you can rest assured in Colorado, Washington, or wherever you else might be purchasing cannabis products, that what you're getting is exactly what it says on the label.
Is this something like Normal will individually, you know, test all of these people and see that they meet the requirements? Do consumers themselves suggest this stuff to Normal? Does it work like the BBB? I mean, what's the detail on that?
In fact, the arrangement we've proposed so far is that the businesses that are already, you know, self-selected in their testing and following these practices anyway would apply to Normal for this seal, and then they'll be allowed to display it in certain ways depending on what kind of arrangement we have. And then that way it's already done, and we can follow up with them. And if there are complaints, you know, just like with the BBB, you can come to us and we'll go to them.
You know, I don't know if you guys have come up with a logo or anything yet, but I'm thinking the hand holding a joint / okay gesture would be a cute little icon.
That sounds pretty cute.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Monday here in our Cannabis Science segment. So get your questions ready next week. We'll talk about all this stuff once again. And Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us again here on Cannabis Science. Appreciate talking to you.
Talk to you soon.
All right. When we come back, we are going to go on a radical rant. The price of legal weed is too damn high. What are we going to do about it? Well, I'll tell you when we come back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
This is Trey. This his crew. Here he is, what he do. Sitting here hugging the block and smoking weed. Hands spinning on the clock. Look at Trey. He never leaves. Just sit day and day and day and day. Do his time, listen to his man's rhyme. Tell him how to be a man. He listens out, but ain't got no plan. He only listens, never plays, never think, never say what he wants or what he needs. Just sit some more and smoke that weed. I wonder if he'll ever leave.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
The price of legal weed is too damn high. I was going to get a graphic of that price, the rent is too damn high guy from New York, but I didn't have enough time. The price of legal weed is too damn high. Now, there was, of course, Washington State started its legal weed program last week, and many reports coming out about how weed was costing $20 a gram, you know, $30 a gram, $33 in some places with tax. This prompted Dominic Holden from The Stranger to write a post, an article, about how, and I forget the exact title, but it was basically that it's okay to pay more for legal weed, or legal weed should cost more, or something like that. And I don't want to get too much into what Dominic wrote because, I don't want to mischaracterize anything he said. It's a great article, and I agree with a lot of the principles. He points out that when he used to work as a 20-something young man in California dispensaries, part of his job was to come up with marketing names for strains. What? You mean when OG Charlie Sheen comes out, it wasn't some horticulturist working for 8 or 9 months to perfect a new strain? You mean, really? Somebody just took an old swag strain off the shelf that wasn't selling very well and came up with a brand new hot trendy name for it to sell it at a higher price? Really? But yeah, he pointed this out. He worked in the dispensaries in California, and his job was to make up names for strains. Come up with something catchy that would get people to buy it. And that even the same strain might end up with two different names, or the same name might end up on two different strains. You know, either way, it's kind of, you know, messed up. So I understand that part of the article, and I appreciate that. That is something that we definitely should receive from legal weed, is a guarantee that, you know, OG Kush or Durban Poison or Silver Haze is the same product when we get it every time. You know, if you got a Big Mac in Seattle, and then when you went to Texas, a Big Mac was a chicken sandwich, you wouldn't, you know, trust the Big Mac brand, right? So I totally understand that. And I agree that legalization does provide us with better brand awareness, consistency, quality of product. And if you saw the labels on these pot products, on the weed, on the flower that you bought in a Seattle dispensary or a Washington dispensary, Dominic makes this point as well that, oh my God, what, from a wonky geek data science kind of standpoint, it's a godsend. In big numbers, you get to see what your THC percentage is, what your CBD percentage is, what your CBG percentage is. Even tells you, I think, CBN on it. So four different cannabinoids. So you get to know from a tested lab, and it tells you what lab, and it tells you when it was harvested, and it tells you when it was tested, and it tells you the moisture content, the dry weight, everything you could possibly want to know about the damn thing. And that, too, is a wonderful part of legalization. And, of course, the fact that we know it's going to be tested, and it's going to be free of impurities. You know, it's going to have, tested for mold and mildews and fungus and spider mites or whatever else, right? So that also is a wonderful benefit of legalization. But none of those benefits of legalization should make the weed cost more than it costs getting it on the black market, at least not substantially more. And that's the only problem I've got so far with marijuana legalization is the reason marijuana is so expensive in the first place. Let's say you even forget about legalization, right? Go back to, you know, black market land, all 50 states, it's illegal. Go back to even before medical marijuana, right? Why has weed always been so expensive? Well, because it's prohibition, right? It's prohibited. There's a risk involved with growing it and trafficking it and smuggling it and selling it. So all of those risks would combine at each level, right? The guy that brought in the ton has to get his cut. And then the guy that cuts that down to pounds has to get his cut. And the guy that cuts it down to ounces gets his cut. And the guy that cuts it down to the eighths gets his cut. You know, we know the game. We know how this game works, right? That's understandable. But with legalization, that risk goes away. Another feature of prohibition is the fact that doing it illegally forced you to do it clandestinely. In the national forest or in a hidden, you know, Northern California plot, if you're doing it outdoors, or if you're doing it indoors, you had to go through great lengths to conceal your activity. And there was no way you could grow to scale. You couldn't have industrial sized warehouses and pull this off very well. Always had to be smaller, right? So there was an artificial scarcity attached. Yeah, the risk and artificial scarcity. So in addition to risk and artificial scarcity, there was a third part that made prohibition prices so expensive: lack of market information. It was hard enough to find your guy to get your weed from, right? But once you found your guy, the kind of weed he would have would be got some and don't. It's like, what kind of strain you got? I got some. And you can buy it or you can not buy it. And what are you going to do? Go find another guy? Most people have trouble finding one guy. So that's part of what's made weed so expensive under prohibition. There's no way dried vegetable matter should be $300 an ounce. And one of the problems we face as a community is it's been that way for so long that all of us except the old timers accept that. We feel like that's a reasonable price. Even in my own rant that I did earlier about the $700 ounce out of Sacramento, I ended up comparing that to $300 ounces as if that's not exorbitant. Dale Gieringer of California Normal did some number crunching on this. Tried to figure out, you know, what if marijuana were completely legal? Like just any old agricultural crop, like hops. You know, marijuana and hops are a similar plant. As far, in fact, they're related plants. You can graft hops onto marijuana, marijuana hops on the vice versa, right? Well, I don't know about vice versa. Anyway, let's not get lost in the weeds. Pardon the pun. But they're similar plants as far as how you would have to grow them and treat them and harvest them and pick them and all that, right? Or leaf tobacco or tea, right? Leaf plants is what we're talking about, right? Bud plants. Dale Gieringer crunched these numbers and figured that if you could grow outdoors on huge farms and you had the benefit of mechanical harvesting that other plants have, the cost to produce an ounce ought to be a buck or two. A buck an ounce or $2 an ounce. Now, of course, that's the cost to produce it. The farmer got to get paid, so he gets his cut. And then the truck driver got to truck it to someplace and he gets his cut. And then the processor has to, you know, separate it and process it and trim it. And then all those people got to get paid. And then, you know, we got to get it to the markets, you know, and the market's got to get their cut and so forth. Right. But, and then the tax man, if it's legal, tax man's got to get his cut. Sure. But even with all that, don't you think that a crop that costs a buck or two an ounce to produce outdoors shouldn't ever cost more than maybe $50 an ounce? And I'm going top end here. I'm talking top end weed. We ought to be able to buy an ounce of weed for $10 or $20 in this country, if it's legal. So the fact that the weed is costing $20 a gram in Washington State just tells us that it ain't legal yet. It ain't fully legal yet. Until we're treated with the same respect as beer drinkers and cigar smokers, until our growers are treated the same as hops farmers and vineyard planters. What do you call a vineyardist? I don't know. There's probably a word for it. Some onophile word for it, I'm sure. Until we're treated like those folks, and until our economy in the marijuana market is allowed to be free and open like that, we're going to continue to see prices that are too damn high. What do we do about it? We do what we've always been doing, baby. We overgrow it. We grow our own. Hey, that's all the time we got for hour one. We'll take this topic into hour two. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Hey, I'm Radical Russ, live from Rolla J Studios. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Or you can tope.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a